Well, I'm sure the kids are having an amazing time, but I think we're doing okay. Yeah? You're very welcome this evening. Some of you have been here all weekend. It's great to see you back. Some of you are just coming tonight. It's great to see you too, whether you're from the Vineyard or whether you're from somewhere else. If maybe you didn't know anything about this and just today you bumped into somebody and they've dragged you along, you're welcome too. Whether you're a follower of Jesus or whether you're just asking questions, whether you've been in the church for a century, or whether it's just your first time you've crossed the threshold for a long time, you're welcome. Thank you for doing that. So have you been pollinating? Yeah? Just three of you? Anybody else? Who's been pollinating? Yeah? Anybody gone red? Yeah, that's code. You'll have to ask somebody what that means. Yes, they've remembered what it means up there. Have you learned something new this weekend so far? Yeah? Done something new? Great. That's what we wanted. Let's hear some stories. Kate, come and help me. What have we got in the way of some stories? Because as we tell the stories and as Robbie's been teaching and as we see what he's doing, what the Lord's doing, and it raises our faith and our expectation, and we go back to our home churches ready for him to do the same there. And I know that this will shift something across the north of England, in the Vineyard in particular, because obviously this is a Vineyard event. What have we got, Kate?
Got loads of stuff.
Barbara, would you come start, make your way up here to tell me, talk to me? Who else?
Rod, Naomi.
Phil, Susie, do you all know who you are? Well, you know your names, but you know which Phil, which Susie? No one's moving. Great, good. Who are you?
Rod.
Come up here, Rod. What happened to you today?
There was actually a couple of things happened today, but I've been asked. Sorry.
You grabbed that a little firmly. Yeah?
Sorry. Yeah, I've been asked specifically to share about what happened last night. So after the service finished last night, I decided to go with my friend who was visiting me to go out for an Indian near where I live in Bradford. I'd only eaten a sandwich all day, so I was really hungry. And I was really bigging up this Indian restaurant to Chris, and the food's awesome. So we got in there. We ordered lots of food, a jalfrezi, one of the chef's special, and special coconut rice. Really looking forward to it. I was starving. And then all of a sudden, I started to feel really ill and sick. And I said to Chris, I'm going to have to go home. So I asked the restaurant manager if he could pack the food up into a box so that we could take it home. So as he was doing that and as we were paying, I thought, I'm not having this. The devil's going to pay for this, for robbing me of my jalfrezi. So I was really looking forward to it. So I said to the restaurant manager, you know, I've said, you know, we're Christians, and he said he was Muslim, and I said, you know, have you got any pain in your body anywhere? And he said, oh, I put my back out the other week lifting things. And he said, are you in pain? And he said, yes. And so I said, can we pray for you? And he said, yes. So prayed for him in Jesus' name, commanded the pain to leave and for his back to be restored. And it went from a 10 to a 2 straight away. And I said, can I pray again? And he was like, yeah, okay. And so Chris then prayed for him, and then it went immediately from a 2 to a 0. Honestly, his face was a picture. It was amazing just to see. And he was like, it really has gone. The pain's gone. It was just a phenomenal ending to sort of an amazing evening. So it was great. So that was, is that called taking a toll? Yeah, that's right.
What was jalfrezi like?
Well, do you want to know? I got up at 5:30 this morning and ate it. I couldn't go out. So.
Right. No, that's another story. Maybe we'll come back to you. Who are you? Barbara, come and say hello. Say hello to Barbara, everybody. Tell us your story.
Hi. Well, I was just on the Healing in the Streets team in Headingley this afternoon, and I'd never done anything like it before.
Where are you from?
Dobby.
That's okay.
Woo!
That's two of you.
Three. Yeah, and the first person I prayed for was wasn't a person, it was a cat. So, and I have no idea how the cat is, but hopefully the cats are recovering. But the second person I spoke to was a lady and her little grandson coming out of Copeland's or Coupland's, the cake shop, whichever, Coupland's.
Greg's.
We just started chatting because she got flowers. We talked about Mother's Day and little boy got a cupcake. And then I said, you know, can I just ask you, we're out on the streets and praying for people. Have you got any pain anywhere? And she said, no, I'm fine, thank you. And then she said, actually, yeah, I've got a problem with my heel. She'd had a problem at work and had a pain in her heel for about 3 weeks and couldn't put a heel on the floor. So I said, can we pray for you now? And she's like, yeah, okay. And the little boy was being really good and really patient. So I went and found Michael. I can't see now, but Michael came and joined us. Michael's up there. And we prayed, and I explained about the rating, and I said, if you've got the pain now, can you give it a 10? And we're going to pray and see how the pain reduces. So I just prayed this dead simple prayer, just like Robbie said. It was nothing. It took like 20 seconds. And then I said to her, can I just check how the pain is? And she said, I can't feel anything. And I thought, oh, my goodness, she's got numb feet or something's gone horribly wrong. And I said, you can't feel anything? She said, well, I said, where are we on the scale, the 10 to 0? And she went, a 1. And I don't know who was more shocked than me, because she looked as shocked as I felt. And so I said, can we pray again? And we prayed again. Michael prayed this time. And she said, it's gone. It's a 0. Fantastic. We've got nothing. But then we said, I said, so is that it? Is there anything else? She said, well, actually, she said, I've got pain all over. So we've gone from no pain to all over. And she said, because I get asthma really badly. So we prayed for the asthma. And I did tell her we'd have to check it out, so you'd have to run up Otley Road, at which point she sort of said, no, I've got to go now. But I have asked her, when she tests that out, if she'd come back into the vineyard here. I showed her the church, and she said she would. Excellent. She'd come back in.
Well done. Thank you, Barbara from Delby. This is Phil. He's a drummer, but that's okay. Say hello to Phil, everybody.
Hi. We were at the primary school, the local primary school this afternoon, which is all of 3 minutes' walk away from here, and we were good neighbours. We took a team of nearly 20 people, I think, in the end, quite a few of us, and they've got a kind of wildlife garden which was wildly overgrown and far more wild than they ever wanted it to be. And it's a primary school, and they don't have an enormous amount of help. And they had a couple of teachers there to kind of help us along. But we just turned up. We have an existing relationship with this school, and we're keen to invest in that school and the people at the school. So I think it was very significant for them. We made an arrangement with them. We turned up when we said we would, in force. We worked flipping hard, actually, for 2 or 3 hours. The people that are probably nodding off in the congregation were probably in our team this afternoon. And we did an excellent job, and I think they were very impressed at what we did. We chatted a bit with them. There wasn't much reception to the sort of things that we were keen to talk to them about, but I have no doubt that their hearts were softened, and as I say, we've demonstrated good neighbouring today.
Excellent. Thank you, Phil. What was that? I missed that.
Ella told Liz that Jesus loved her.
Okay. Who's Liz?
Liz is the caretaker at the school, and she knows now that Jesus loves her.
Well done, Ella. Hello, who are you?
I'm Susie.
Susie, and where are you from?
Cosy Coast originally, but I'm in Carlisle.
Tell us a story.
So I was in the team that was down at the skate park, and we were just handing out cans of like Diet Coke and Coke out to the people there, and I approached these three teenage girls that were sitting off to the side, and I was just talking to them, and I was just like, you know, if God could prove to you right now that he was real, what would you want him to do? And she looked around, and I was like, is there any pain that you have? Is there anything that God could heal you with? And she was just like, yeah, well, like, I've got 3 broken toes, like, could you pray for that? I was like, okay. So I was like, where is it at the minute on a scale of 1 to 10? And she was like, it's a 10 at the minute. And I was like, okay. So I just started to pray. And then I asked her afterwards, like, where is it at the minute? And she said it went from a 10 down to a 3. I was like, that's perfect. And I was like, could I pray one more time? I'm just really certain that this is going to go down to a 0. And she was like, okay, like, go for it. So I prayed for her again. It went down from a 3 down to a 0. She was just like sitting there and like putting her weight down in her foot. And she was like, oh, no way. Like, how has this happened? I was like, it's just because Jesus loves you. He wants to show you that like he's real and he's like pursuing you. So then after that, I was just like, look, would you like to give your life to Jesus right now and just invite him into your heart? And her and then her two friends gave their lives to Jesus right there. So that's really cool.
Well done, Susan. Apparently we have that on video, so look out. We'll post it. This is Mary. Mary from, well, complicated. Mary is getting married soon.
Tell us. Just made me where I'm from.
No, it doesn't. I just remembered. I'm doing the wedding, so it's a good thing I remembered. Yes. And where's her husband? Where's Bex? Is he here? Congratulations. Good choice. Well done. Tell us your story, Mary.
Okay, I'm being a bit cheeky and doing two, because I want to tell you about what's going on in the kids' room too.
Okay.
So we had all of the children learning how to pray for healing this morning. We did the 5-step healing model with them. And one of the little girls had been in a lot of pain. She had really bad chest pains and she'd really, really hurt her thumb, like proper 10 moment. And we got them all praying for her, immediately went from 10 down to 3. And all the kids were like, whoa, what just happened? Like, seriously? And then we're like, right, okay, let's pray again. And it went down again. And then she was like off. She was around the room, running around like crazy, like completely healed. And they prayed for my foot as well. And that is much better now too, which is good. And this actually then got one of the girls who's really quite shy, doesn't particularly like going out and doing stuff in the streets. And she was like, mom, can I go out on the streets this afternoon with all the kids? So yeah, God is on the move in there too, which is pretty amazing to see. But I went out this afternoon and we went treasure hunting and God was pretty amazing. Like, we had 5 or 6 clues per person almost. But then we were walking back and we saw this homeless guy and we got chatting to him and asked if there was anything he wanted prayer for. And so we prayed about like getting a home or anything. And he was like, okay, yeah, no, that's fine. And my dad's sick. So we prayed for his dad. And he was like, are you in debt? And he was like, how did you know that? And I was like, well, I just kind of felt God was telling me that you were in debt. And I was like, I've got a friend called Gwen, and she can help people that are in debt. She'll take away your bills, she'll take away the paperwork. I can give her your number, and she can, like, you can phone her. I can give you the money to call her. So I wrote down her number on one of the God Loves You cards, and he actually got out a bill right there. And he's like, look, I owe the Queen this much money. And I think I was just like, right, okay, here's Gwen's number. Here's the money to go and phone Gwen. So you do that afterwards. And he was like, whoa. And then he started telling us about his depression and how he'd shot himself and how he'd stabbed himself and he had all of these suicidal things and there was all of this stuff going on in his life and it just never seemed to go right. So we're like, right, okay, we'll pray about that. And as we were praying, it was just like, actually, we bind the spirit of death, we bind the spirit of suicide over him. And we said, like, you can, like, ask Jesus into your life to be your friend and he will protect you from that stuff. And so he asked Jesus into his life. So, yeah.
Right. Well done, Mary. Gwen is not a mythological figure. Gwen sitting back there, she runs our debt advice centre. And she doesn't herself pay off all the debts and things. She's a she's a debt advisor. Who's next? Ah, Nomi. Nomi's got some news. You know what's going to happen soon. Anyway, that wasn't what you came to tell us about.
So I went out with a group that went into the student halls across the way to clean some kitchens, which was delightful. but it was really nice to just bless them. Several of them, they just hung out with us while we were doing it and chatted. And one of the girls, when Michelle had finished cleaning the hob, her face was just gobsmacked because she didn't realise it could get that clean and that it was white. So it was just really nice to bless them and spend time with them and encourage them. We didn't get many prayer requests apart from whether we could turn water to wine. So.
Well done. Thank you. Yeah, student halls, water to wine. No, you have to exercise some common sense in prayer requests. Hello, come up here. Who are you?
I'm Tonya.
Hi, Tonya. Say hello to Tonya.
West Auckland.
West Auckland? Okay,
yeah. Right. I went out on the random good act thing. And that was my sort of feeling as I was going. And when we were having lunch, as you do, I sort of said a little, "My Lord, what are we going to do with this? What do you want me to do?" And he didn't say now the blabber, but I got this idea straight in my head that was a little shop with an old man and a shopping basket. And that was it. And then when we met outside, there was a lot of talk of going to coffee shops and buying someone a coffee. And I sort of said, "No, it's an old man with a... I've got to find a little shop." Well, I couldn't find a little shop, but I found Sainsbury's. And all I found the first time was a supermarket guy who thought I was a bit dodgy. But then we went to her, came back on desperation of, right, flowers, chocolate, and we'll give them away in the street. That was the idea. And as I was looking for the flowers and the chocolate, something just flashed past me. And I knew, that's him. That's the guy. And so I went and said, "Can I help you with your shopping, sir?" And he thought I was an assistant. "No, no, I'm just looking. It's fine." So I was back to hovering. And he wandered around the shop, being so particular about everything he picked up, checking the prices, putting it back, making sure. And he got his little basket, not nearly half full, and took it to the checkout. And I made sure I jumped in with my bunch of flowers behind him. And when it was all tilled up, I said, "Could I please pay for this?" And he looked at me and said, "What? Would you let me pay for this? You're saying you want to pay for all this?" It wasn't a lot. And I said, "Yeah, if you let me, I'd love to." "Oh, well, yeah, if you want to, that's fine. Go ahead, do it." So I did. And I said, "I just want to bless you. I just want to let you know Jesus loves you." And his face was so shocked. And he took out one of the cards, the do the stuff cards. And I said, "Someone else has already spoken to you today. Jesus really wants to talk to you." And he just went out the shop with such a touched face and saying, "Oh, when I get home." And I wasn't as brave as these girls who said they've got people saved. I just was really pleased with that.
That's great.
Probably should have said, you know.
No. Have you ever done anything like that before?
We've sort of gone out in West Auckland, which is a very small village and nothing like this. And we've wandered around and asked the miracle question. But I haven't had that idea of knowing who I was looking for, and I knew who I was looking for, and it was quite... I was amazed.
How did you know?
Because at lunchtime, I was told this man with a little shopping basket, and I just knew...
How did you get little man with a shopping basket? How did that come to you?
Well, I believe God put that in my head and my heart.
It's like an idea?
Is
it a picture?
Sort of a picture. I definitely could see him and his basket.
Mm-hmm. And how did it feel as you watched him toddle off with his...
It was amazing. I was so blessed. And I think, you know, we did it to bless him, but I'm the one who comes away feeling blessed.
Fantastic. Well done. Thank you very much. Rob, tell us about that? Your friend doesn't want to come. Come on, Chris, come on. Do you like the way he just grabs the mic? He's used to this, isn't he?
Chris can do it. He taught me everything I know.
I don't believe a word he says, no. We had an awesome... Sorry. To Robbie... we just had an awesome day, really, just speaking to, you know, just getting out there and just speaking to people and just loving them, basically. There was one point where it actually was a bit quiet, and we were just praying, weren't we? We were just saying, God, just bring the people to us that you want us to talk to. Sorry, I'm getting a bit nervous. and anyway, this guy came along, and he was telling us about his upbringing, that he had a father that talked to him about Jesus. And we just said, listen, we just want to pray for you. We just want to tell you that Jesus loves you, and that he just wants a relationship with you, and that this can be real. You know, this relationship can be real, physical. And we just basically prayed for him, and Rod just said a short prayer, just led him to Jesus, and he was really blessed by it. You know, it was something real. So, yeah, there you go. Sorry, I'm not the best of speakers. Sorry, you can hear me getting a bit nervous, but there you go.
Good job. Just stay there a minute. Have you done this loads of times before, this sort of thing?
Yeah, it really was the first time.
And what are you put off for life, or will you do this again?
Well, to be honest, I'm off to Ohio, seeing Robbie again, and my heart's just to get out there and do it. You know, it's really for me, you know, standing up and you know, this isn't natural for me to do this. It's quite scary standing in front of you all. But no, I just, you know, when Robbie came to our church, he came to the Foundry last year, and just to realize that we can have a real relationship that is tangible, you know, that we can hang out with Jesus every day. It's just awesome to know that. And awesome to know that, you know, it's not just people like Robbie that anoint you to do this, that we can all do that, you know, that we're all given that authority to do that and just to bless people. And that lady shared before, you know, Robbie teaches the sowing and the reaping. And for the last sort of 6 months, just blessing other people has blessed me as just a human being. I just couldn't imagine that you can sow into someone else's life but be blessed by that, you know. And that's just amazing. I just think that's amazing.
Useless at public speaking, isn't he? Completely useless. Great stuff. Well done, boys. Cheers. At the last count, Kate tells me 12 people have given their life to Jesus today as a result of what you've been doing. So this is the end of our conference, but Robbie, would you come and minister to us for the last time? Robbie is, most of you know, but if you're here for the first time tonight, he's a vineyard pastor from the States, but he spends most of his time traveling the world and giving of his time and energy to teaching and equipping the church to do the things that Jesus did. We're really very grateful that you've come to minister to us. Let me pray for you, and then let's get going. Holy Spirit, I ask you to come, and I ask you to fill Robbie with your presence and your spirit. Would you speak through him tonight and inspire us to do the things that you did? I ask you to bless him and every ounce of energy and emotion that he's expended on your behalf over these times with us. Would you double it up and bless him in Jesus' name? Amen.
Awesome. Wow, you guys did amazing. That is just, those are great, great testimonies. It's so cool just to see when people jump out there and do that. And let me say something about Rod real quick, because he personally has an incredible, do you mind me telling this? Too late. He has a personal, incredible, powerful testimony. You wrote a book about it, so it's out there, about having been a drug dealer and running drugs and all kinds of stuff, and then now, you know, just preaching the gospel and loving Jesus. And he, in my book, he's a real pro at everything we're talking about this weekend. So what's the title of your book?
The Real Deal.
The Real Deal. And it's I've got a copy of it, and it's an incredible book. You really is it on Amazon or anything like that? It's on Amazon. Seriously, you should get it. It'll bless you, and it's just really, really encouraging. So it's really, so that's why he snatched that microphone. He's just used to just sort of just grabbing stuff and running. No, I'm just kidding. But he's a really great man of God, and I plan on him accompanying me on on some trips. He's a really great brother. So, wow, you guys did it. Now, how many of you had some amazing failure stories? Like you just crashed and burned. All right, keep your hand up. Keep your hand up. Everybody else, give them a big hand. Let me tell you why. Because you did it. You went for it. There's no real failure. There's no real failure. You know why? Because you obeyed Jesus. He said, go lay hands on the sick. He said, go do it. He said, go ask. He said, you know, step out and communicate the gospel. So you did it. So it's all a success. Now, see, we've got an idea of success, and God has an idea of success, and they're different. You know, my idea of success is that, you know, I pray for somebody to be healed, and them and all their family members get healed instantly. How many of you would agree that's success? You know, that's a good success rate, right? You know, my idea of success is the clear, spotless, prophetic word that where I give you your middle name, your great-grandfather's, you know, surname plus his first name, and I give you your mother's side, you know, all their first names, and, you know, that's my idea of success. Would you agree? That would be a pretty successful prophetic word, right? My idea of success is the deliverance prayer, where I pray and, you know, in 2 seconds, all the demons run screaming. Forget 2 seconds. Demons just see me walking down the street. And they're like, no, not Robbie. And they go running away. That's my idea of success. How many if you saw demons screaming out your name, running away, you'd say that's your idea of success, huh? Come on. Okay, only 2 of you. Catch up with the class. That's a real... You know what God's idea of success is? God's idea of success is when I go do it again and it didn't happen the last time. You know why? God's idea of success is my follow-through, my obedience. God's idea of success is him saying go and I just go because the results are for him and not for me. That's God's idea of success. And so at that, you were very successful, even if you feel like you experienced, you know, a total failure. It's still, because all of it is something that God redeems, and you'll be amazed, you know, at what God can do with that. And so don't be discouraged, you know, by that. Don't be put off by that, because God is at work, and he's doing things. Even if seeds are planted, things have been planted, and it's God is at work. Okay, so I want to share something with you. From scripture. Well, let me share this, and then I'm hoping I can get. Can you pull up and ready that video of the mouth? How many of you have seen the mouth of Sauron from Lord of the Rings? That little video clip is pretty cool. Now let me explain something about it. I'm going to set this up, and the reason why I want to show this to you is because we have this tendency to feel like that. And I'm only saying this in case you haven't seen it. It's got a slight graphic. If you saw Lord of the Rings, it's not graphic to you because you know what Lord of the Rings is like. But here's the thing, is that the enemy is constantly bringing up our old identity to us. You can't do this because you still need healing yourself. How can you go pray for somebody? Or, you know, you yelled at the kids, you kicked the dog on your way out the door, you told, you know, your spouse you didn't like, you know, the food or whatever, or you were, you know, you were mean, you know, at work, and the enemy tries to disqualify you and say, hey, you know, you can't do this, you're disqualified. All of that are the lies of the enemy, and that's Satan trying to steal from you, you know, your true identity. Again, people are like, man, you know, I can't kick this, you know, alcohol addiction. I can't get this drug addiction. They bought into a false identity. That's not who you are. And what you do is not who you are, because Christ has come to make all of us new. But we either choose that new identity, we either follow that new identity, and we can do that. This is the reason why Paul says, I die daily. I, Paul, die daily. Christ lives. In order for that to happen, I've got to continue to live that Christ life and push that other side. And so when you go to pray for people, you go to minister to people, when it comes Monday morning, you're going to be like, wow, Saturday was amazing. We heard cool stories. People got saved. You know, but now I don't have a team. It's just me on the bus. It's just me, you know, at work. It's just me. And you're going to be faced with, and the enemy's going to say, yeah, but what about this? What about that? And this, all this intimidation tactic. Why? Because that's what he does. And he's trying to put fear into you, bringing up your old identity, bringing up your areas of brokenness, bringing up things that you're trying to work through to disqualify you, okay? That's his objective, is disqualifying you to keep you away from who Christ has really made you to be and walking this out. Because this is not what we do, this is who we are. Going out and bringing people to Christ isn't what we do, it's who we are. It's about an identity. It's about who Christ has made us to be. And so we don't yield to that fear, but Satan will try to feed that, you know, bring up old ideas. So in this clip of Mouth of Sauron, I want you to pay attention to how Satan feeds, or in the mouth represents the enemy, how he feeds off their fear. And Gandalf, he says to Gandalf, he says, old gray beard. Well, Gandalf is now Gandalf the White. He's not recognizing his new identity. So he's bringing up his old identity to try to keep him in the past. And then he starts saying these, you know, these things about their past. He starts, you know, he's lying about Frodo and what has happened to Frodo. And he's and as they express fear, Satan feeds off it. Remember what I said earlier? Satan can't read your mind, but he can put thoughts and feelings there. So he doesn't know, you know, what's going on inside until you express it outside. And so, but I want you to take a look at how Aragorn responds to it, because even when he looks at him, he says, you know, you come with me with a, you know, a king's broken, you know, elvish blade, and says, you know, he's twisting the scenario. He's talking about the defeat of his father in order to keep Aragorn away from, you know, being who he really is. But watch how he responds to it, and that's how we need to respond to the lies of the enemy, okay? All right, so let's watch it. It'll be a little... Yeah, there we go. Perfect.
Let the Lord of the Black Land come forth. Let justice be done upon him.
Come to treat with Sauron, faithless and accursed. Tell your master this. The armies of Mordor must disband. He is to depart these lands, never to return.
Oh, old Greybeard. I have a token I was bidden to show thee.
Silence!
The halfling was dear to thee, I see. Know that he suffered greatly at the hands of his host. Who would have thought one so small would endure so much pain? And he did, Gandalf. He did. And who is this? Isildur's heir. It takes more to make a king than a broken elvish play.
I guess that concludes negotiations. believe it. I will not.
Just soak it in. Just receive it. Don't fight it. Just go. Notice what he says. I do not believe it, and I will not. I'm not going to believe the lies of the enemy. I'm not going to believe the intimidation. I'm not going to let that rule me. See the discouragement that comes over Gandalf. See the fear that comes over him. But look how Aragorn responds. He goes and he's just like, just cut off his head. So whenever that fear comes, whenever that intimidation comes, whenever that I'm not sure comes, just cut the head off the enemy. And how do you do that? By doing it anyway. By going for it anyway. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings 18. When I was flying here, I had this. They canceled my first flight, which was very irritating, because then it bumped me to the next flight, which meant I would be arriving in the morning versus the night before. And I wanted to arrive the night before so I could get on your time zone and go to sleep in your time. And so they bumped me. So I ended up spending 11 hours at the airport, you know. And so I'm like, all right, I'm going to redeem the time. And I was in the particular club that I'm a part of, and I started prayed for about 4 or 5 people there. Several people, you know, shot me down, like, no, no, no. And, you know, saw some lady who was sort of tending some of the drinks and stuff like that. She prayed for her back, and it got healed and stuff like that, and it was really cool. And so I was working on stuff with my book and just trying to make the time useful. And so then they notified me. They called me up to the front desk, and they said, "We're really sorry about the flight getting canceled. You know, we're gonna bump you up into first class." And this is like past business class into true first class. I mean, where you're in a cubicle. You've got your seat shifts and turns. And I was like, I didn't know these did this. I mean, this is like amazing, you know. And you know, they just spoil you rotten, you know, up there. And so I'm up there, and the purser of the flight, you know, she comes back, and she's like, and they're you know with each class they get nicer, you know. And kind of back in coach, it's like, yeah, just eat your food, okay, don't ask for any more, you know. But they get nicer as they go up. And so she comes and she brings me, you know, the food, and I just look at her and I said, you know, I said, do you have any problems in the lower part of your back? And she goes, can you tell when I pulled the tray out and I did all that? And I said, no. I said, actually, it's not that. I said, but, you know, God shows me stuff for people. And I said, you know, I said, when you did that, I said, I just sort of felt this, like, pressure in my back. And she goes, well, that could have been you just turning wrong. And I said, it could, but I've learned to recognize, you know, and pay attention to things like that when that could be God speaking to me. I said, here's the deal. If you let me pray for your back, Jesus will heal your back right now. And she goes, well, but. She goes, I don't believe in any of that stuff. And I said, doesn't even matter. I said, that's why you'll experience this, is so that you'll believe in this stuff. And she goes, well, but the faith healers on TV, you know, all that's just fake. All that. I said, I understand. I understand. I wasn't going to argue with her. Wasn't going to try to. I said, I understand. I said, if you let me pray for your back, Jesus will heal your back right now. And she goes, what's there to lose? And I said, there's everything to gain. And so I just said, I said, can you bend and check your, but she goes, you know what? She goes, these people are here. I'm serving. I said, they're all watching movies. They're not even paying attention to what we're doing right now. I said, as a matter of fact, if I could get them to pay attention, I would get them to pay attention right now. And so she goes, okay. And so she bit, and she's like, oh, yeah. And she goes, there it is. And so I said, yes. And so I'm going to pray. I said, let me pray for your back. And so I just put my hand on her shoulder, and I said, Father, I thank you for healing. I said, so that this woman will know how much you love her and care about her. I command these vertebrae just to be made whole right now, just come into alignment. And she says, well, there's bone spurs back there. And I said, I just command those bone spurs to disappear. And she goes, disappear. She goes, my vertebrae's to disappear? No. The bone spurs to disappear off the vertebrae. And I said, just give me a second. Let me finish praying. So I put my hand back on her arm, and I just said, just go now. And I said, all pain go. And I said, now, I said, check your back. And she bends, and she checks her back, and she comes up, and she goes, and she's like twisting, like contorting all these different directions. And I looked at her and I said, are you trying to make it hurt? You know, are you trying to, you know, I said, I just meant to do the same position you did before. And she goes, this is weird. I said, give me a number. And she goes, no, I'm not going to give you a number. And I said, just tell me where's the pain. I'm not going to say. And she runs back up to the galley. And so a few minutes later, she comes down the other aisle and she gets one of the other flight attendants, because she was just attending the first class, and she has them come and bring me my next drink. And she's like staying away. And so finally, you know, I waited till I, you know, kind of where she was done serving. And so I get up and I go to the bathroom and I round the corner. Sorry. When I round the corner, she's looking down and she looks up and she goes like that. And I told her, I said, her name was Agnes, I think it was. I said, Agnes, I said, why are you avoiding me? And she goes, it's gone. She goes, you don't understand. She goes, this really just, she goes, you don't understand what a problem this makes for me. And I said, why? And she goes, because I've told everybody you guys were fakes, that you guys were liars, and that you were stealing old people's money, and that you were doing all this. And I said, Agnes, I said, but Jesus, I said, I understand, you know, there's some of those guys that do that. I said, but this is Jesus. I said, let's look at Jesus. Did Jesus steal your money? Did you? And she goes, no. She goes, Jesus is good. I said, so let's focus on Jesus and what you know about Jesus. And she just like, yeah, okay. You know, I can do it. And she just settled right down and just calmed right down. And so I just said, Agnes, I said, can I just pray for you, just for you to feel peace right now? I said, because I think this is kind of like really rattled. She goes, it has rattled me. She goes, this is really like really messing with me. And so I just prayed peace for her. And then she comes back to, and two of the times while I'm trying to sleep, she taps me, and they're not supposed to mess with you when that happens. She taps me on the shoulder. She goes, I just want you to know all the pain is still gone. She goes, this is really crazy. She goes, but there's a girl back in that works the coach, and she has really bad migraines and wants coming. Can I bring her up here? Would that be okay? And I'm like, yeah, you bring her up here, you know. So we pray for her, and I had Agnes, of course, pray for her. I said, Agnes, put your hand. She goes, oh, no. That's going too far. That's going. And I said, no, just put your hand on. And that's when I call, when you have an unbeliever, I call that a 2-for-1. You know, you're getting 2-for-1. So she prays, the headache goes. And I said, you know, I looked at him, I said, both ladies, Jesus just invited you to a relationship. He just demonstrated his power. He invited you to a relationship. I said, how would you like to respond to Jesus? And Agnes looked and she goes, I'd really like to think about that, but this is still really messing with me. Can I think about, will Jesus let me think about that? I said, yeah, he'll let you. I said, but Agnes, I said, every time you recognize you don't have any more pain in your back, you remember Jesus' invitation to you. She goes, I will, you know. And she said, you know, thank, and both of them thanked me and stepped away. Guys, let me tell you something. The enemy's going to try to do everything in his power to keep us away from that. But that's just coming out of who we are. It's just coming. That's what God has made us do. So let's take a look at this. And I want to build off of just kind of what we're finishing. I want to conclude some thoughts here, you know, but I want to, you know, get us, sir, with a green, yeah, you got a green jumper on, you got your hand in your mouth. What's your name? Mex? Bex. Bex. I just saw this, I just saw a field. That was like this freshly plowed field, and this I just saw, like, you can smell the grass on it, and it's just like this new adventure that God has for you. God's just like opening up this whole new thing in your life, and it's just this whole new adventure, this whole new field, and this whole new, and I felt like God's really been stretching you, and he's sort of been, and it's sort of stretching your mind, sort of stretching your experience, and he's sort of bringing you into some new places. And I felt like the Lord was just really saying that that's because of the next step, of the next phase. And I just saw God's hands really on your life, and he really wants you to know that. He wants you to know that even through some of the tough times that you've been through, and there's been through, I felt like some tension and stuff in your family, things like that, that God's been really just healing your heart and even wounds from the past in your heart. And the Lord just wants you to know that he's just, that fresh field is just it's just a new beginning. I just hear new beginnings, new beginnings, new beginnings. And it's just a whole new thing for you. And there's been an anxiousness about that. And that's okay, because God is just opening up some fresh new things for you. And I don't know what kind of work you do, but I feel like new doors opening at work. There's been some just new opportunity, some new things. God's just doing just this. I just hear the Lord saying, you know, it's, I think it was from a song of the past that, you know, he's not making all new things, but he's making all things new. And I just really felt like that's what the Lord is just really doing for you. Does that make sense to you? Does that make sense? Is there any part of that not make sense to you? Okay, I just saw God's hands. This lady in the purple right there, would you just put your hand just on Beck's shoulder? Yeah, so Holy Spirit, just bless him. He's just all over you right now. And I just pray just for your fresh touch. I just pray, Lord, just for that healing work. And I just thank you for that in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just bless this man. Yeah, there's just I just see God just releasing fresh vision. And I hear the Lord saying he's so proud of you, Bex. He's just really, really proud of you. And he just wants you to know. I just keep hearing the Father just say, tell him well done, tell him well done, tell him well done. And just, he's really proud of you. So Father, just let him feel the lavish love of a father who's just so proud of him. We just bless him, Father, with that in Jesus' name. I just thank you for your hand on him and just your work on his life. And just fill him up, Lord, just even right now in Jesus' name. Bless him. Bless him in Jesus' name. And right back there is a guy on the end. You got a brown jumper too. You call those jumpers, right? The hood things? Okay. What's your name? Richard. Do you mind standing up for a second, Richard? Is that okay? Can I put you on the spot? Sorry about that. That's my gift, putting people on the spot like that. But, you know, Richard, I just really saw just God just for you. I just felt like he was just putting some new tools in your tool belt. And he was, like, retooling you. He's taking some old tools out and putting some new tools in, some additional tools, and just he's putting some new tools in your tool belt. And I just really, were you here last night? Were you here all day today or just here tonight? All day? I just felt like these were just new tools that God's sticking in your belt. But there's also, it applies to some other stuff, you know, too, that if you know about. But I just heard the Lord say he's just retooling, he's re-equipping. And I felt like the enemy's really tried to take you out. He's seen you as a real threat. He's just tried to just take you out in your life. And I just heard the Lord say that assignment has been broken. It's been an assignment both in the bloodline and then too just in life. It's almost been like cycles of just like just feeling like you're walking through a minefield at time, and it's just really frustrating. Does this make sense to you? Okay, and so I just heard the Lord say that he's just leading you through that, and that this is just you're stepping into something really new and stepping into some new territory. And I felt like this is going to be a time where again, it's been that time of sort of pushback. Now it's going to be a time where the wind's at your back, kind of pulling you forward. And it's just going to be a real time of favor and grace. And so I just heard the Lord say, be encouraged. And I just felt like, I just saw you like sleeping, getting better rest at night. I just felt like just some of the worry, some of the wheels spinning was just going to stop. And that there was just a real, you know, peace that's coming for you. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay, so Father, we just thank you for Richard. We just thank you for your hand on him. And just, Lord, just your grace for him and just your presence on him. We just bless him in Jesus' name. And just pray, just Father, just for that encouragement, Lord, just that you have for him. I just pray your peace and just your goodness just for him in Jesus' name. Bless him, Father. Amen. And the lady, you in the balcony, you've got your hand on your generator. Yeah, you came down and talked to me earlier. What was your name? I forget your name. Diana? Bernadette. The lady with the black sweater is Bernadette? Oh, I'm sorry. The lady with the black... Yeah, you got your hands up like this. Yes, you. Sorry. Your name's Bernadette? All right, I'm really confused here. The lady with the black... Sorry, it's kind of like, you right there, I have a word for you, you know, and then that's everything. Sorry about that. Diana, okay. Diana, let me just tell this part of what I know we were talking about before. You told me you're a single mom, I believe, is that right? Okay, so you said that to me. I'm just saying that for their benefit, so that they don't think that's prophetic anyway. But I really feel like the Lord is just really shifting. He's been shifting your view of yourself. And he's also been shifting your view of what is what God like the life vision. And there's just this whole. It's like you've gone to a couple of doors and those doors have been locked, and it's been frustrating because you'd be like, you know, and it you feel like this is the door that's supposed to open, but it's been a locked door, and there's been like this frustration. And I feel like with the vision of your life thing, I feel like the enemy's really tried to steal the dream of your life. And tried to rob you of that. And you started thinking, well, maybe it was just my dream for myself. Maybe this was just my idea. Maybe it wasn't, you know, the thing. And I hear the Lord just saying that that dream is God's dream. And that it's what he was allowing you to see from his perspective. But the enemy has really tried to steal that. There's a real authority in you, Diana, and there's a real strength in you. There's a real leadership inside of you, and I feel that from even at an early age, I feel like the enemy tried to come at you with fear, and tried to come at you with even like fear in the night, fear of being alone, things like that, and he was attacking you with that fear sort of early on because he saw the threat that you are. Does this make sense to you? And I just saw the Lord has put just like a big sword in your hand. There's a real sort of authority. There's also a sort of intercession to break through for other people. And you've been asking God for something, and it's just seemed like Mount Everest to climb, just like this massive mountain, and that it would have to, and you've even said to people, if this happens, it would have to be a miracle. Well, I hear the Lord saying, it's already starting. It's already starting to happen. You haven't been able to see it. You haven't been able to see even the fruit of it yet, or be able to see the thing begin. But I hear the Lord saying he's doing it, and he's going to accomplish it, and that there's just, and I felt too, like just in the next 3 months, God's going to begin to release some dreams to you in the night, just in Daniel referred to them as night visions. And I just saw the Lord just releasing those to you. And he's going to be giving you some big communication in some of that. So be prepared for that. Pay attention to those, okay? And so, Father, I just thank you for Diana. And I thank you for your hand on her. And just, and I felt too like, I don't know how many kids you have, but I felt like, do you have three kids? Or what? How many kids do you have? Two kids. Okay. I felt like one of them was like a worship leader, and that they were really going to be coming, and that there's music deep inside of them, and that they're going to be a worship leader. So Lord, we just pray your blessing on Diana. We just pray for your peace. We pray for your presence, and knowing your hand on her, and just even to some of the discouragement, some of the frustration, Lord, not to see from that, but to see from your vantage point. We just bless her, Father, in the name of Jesus. We just thank you. You know, for just all the things you're doing and just leading in. And we just bless that in Jesus' name. We bless that in Jesus' name. Okay, yeah, amen. Okay, but the problem is it would be really easy to keep going, but I really want to share something with you, okay? So Elijah is, lady, you got your hand to your mouth right there. What's your name? You just had your glasses. Allison, is that right? Allison, I just heard the Lord say, it's not over. There's something new. There's just, I just, I heard the Lord say that he's shutting one door, but he's opening another door, and it's a double door. It's this double thing. And I heard the Lord just say that there's a real prophetic gift in you that God's going to allow to start springing up. It's come up, but now it's going to just shoot up like a geyser, and that it's just a whole new thing. And I felt like as that's doing, it's almost like it's a strange picture. Okay. So, and I don't think I've ever given any word like any close to this ever before, but I saw it just kind of shooting up, and it just sort of like coming out of your mouth like a geyser. But as it does, it's just healing, and just being like this water that washes over and just brings some healing just over your mind, over some past experiences and things like that. And I saw the Lord letting that spray go on others, and it bringing healing to their minds, bringing healing to their, and that you've had a real heart of compassion for people. You could sort of see people and feel their pain and feel their, and you want to reach out. And I just heard the Lord say that you're going to be able to see just a real touch. People are going to really, even like clerks at the grocery store, or you don't call it a grocery store, you call it market or something like that. But I just saw like them giving you change back, and them feeling like a shock in their hand, and then being like, what's that? And I just saw you just going, that's God, because he loves you. He wants you to experience. There's just an authority that's being released. Do you understand what I'm saying? Does this make sense? I know some of it's kind of coming, so I can't say, you know, does that apply necessarily to you? But do you understand the picture of what I'm communicating to you? Okay. So, Lord, we just pray your blessing on her. We just thank you for her and just encouragement for her in Jesus' name. 1 Kings 18. So, Elijah is in this place where all of a sudden he's going up against these prophets of Baal. There's all this tension, there's all this stress, there's all this pressure that's surrounding him, and it's got him really sort of, you know, pushed back. He's got to see something show up. They've put something on the line here. There's one of him, and there's like hundreds of them, and he's putting something on the line here where he says, listen, either your God answers by fire or my God answers by fire, and whose ever God answers by fire, he's God. Okay? And the other prophets have to die. Now, that's a big risk, right? That's just turning the valve up completely to full. You know, there's no room for slight crank. It's all the way open. And so he says to him, he goes, but you guys go first, okay? And so they go first, and they begin to cry out, and they begin to say, you know, come and come, and it's not happening. And so he's like, cry louder. Maybe he's on vacation, and he can't hear you. Maybe he's on the toilet and has the fan on, and he can't hear what you're saying. Cry even louder. And they start cutting themselves, and they're like literally bleeding out. And then he finally stops and says, all right, that's it. That's enough. And then he says, you know, just stop right there. And then he says, now it's my turn, you know. And the scripture says here that in verse 30, it says, then Elijah called to the people, and he says, come over here. And they crowded around him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord. Now, you got to realize King Ahab is, you know, a part of this scene. He's watching this scene. And it says, he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been torn down. And he took 12 stones, one representing each of the tribes of Israel, and he used the stones to rebuild the altar in the name of the Lord. And then he dug a trench around the altar large enough to hold about 3 gallons. Now, the trench is, him digging the trench around the altar, what is that doing? Turning up the risk. Okay? It holds about 3 gallons, right? And it says, and then he piled the pieces of wood. He piled the wood on the altar. He cut the bull into pieces, and he laid the pieces on the wood. And then he said, fill the large jars with water. And they poured water. Now, these are large jars. These are not just gallon jugs, but these could possibly be like that big. Possibly more than 3 gallons. Why? Because he's pouring it on top of the sacrifice. With each pouring over the sacrifice, what is he doing? Cranking up the risk even more. I mean, he's cranking this risk up. He's increasing it each time. And after he had done this, he says, pour it on. They pour it on, and he says, now pour it on again. They pour it. With each time they're pouring, what is he doing? Just cranking up this risk each time. Now, I don't know how it works here in England, but in the United States, water is a fire inhibitor. It prevents fire from burning. But with each pour, he's just saturating. So now this water is pouring through these rocks. It's soaked this meat. And you got to realize, too, this is in a time of drought. And we'll see that here in a minute. It's in a time of drought. So you guys don't understand this because this is moist land, okay? But when you're in a place there's drought and you start pouring water like that, you can smell it. So you can't smell it because you're smelling it all the time because it's constantly falling from the sky in this country, you know? And so it's just soaked and water's pouring through it. The sacrifice, this is in such drought that the water that is being poured on the sacrifice probably has more value than the animal does. Think about it. And so he's just pouring this thing on. And so he does it a third time. And so they did as he said, and it says the water ran down the altar. Now, let me tell you something. In doing that, he's just cranking up the risk. He's cranking up the risk. And I always share the story when I share this. But my son, Cana, who is now 10 years old, and he's diagnosed with autism. You know, doctor said he'd never speak or look us in the eye. And I mean, God's just done a really miracle in his life. You know, I mean, our doctor has said that, you know, based on what he's seen, that he's about 90% healed. That it's just this incredible, and the doctor's blown away, you know, by it. But when Cana was younger, when this happened, he was probably about 7 years old. And this kid on the block was a real bully to him because of his autism. And so Cana, you know, I was sitting in my study and I looked outside. I heard this talk outside the window and I looked and this bully kid was there and he's like saying stuff to Cana. Cana has his hands on his hips and he's like saying something back to him. I'm like, oh man, it looks like an altercation. I better get out there. And about the time that I opened the door, Cana says, oh yeah? He goes, well, my daddy, he goes, you go get your daddy. He goes, my daddy's going to come out here and beat your daddy up. Now, that boy's daddy is twice my size. He's huge. And I hear him do that. Now, how do you think I responded to that? Cana, how dare you? That's not being loving. Now, if it was one of Todd White's kids, they'd have given him a hug. But my kids aren't Todd White's kids. They're my kids. So he's like, you know, give it. He's going to take your daddy. My chest goes out, and I'm like, what's going on out here? Why? Because my boy believes in me. I'm gonna put that foot. Why? He believes in me. He believes that, you know, that I can, that dad would have wiped the floor with me. You know, I would have been a puddle on the ground when he's done. But my chest is out. Why? Because he believes in me. What's Elijah doing? He's saying, my daddy's about to come and take your daddy. My daddy's about to come and take your daddy. Now, does God look down at Elijah and say, now, Elijah, somebody needs to learn humility. And so I'm not going to respond because you need to learn some humility. And saying that is not humble. And so, no, I'm not going to show my power here because you need to learn a lesson here. You believe in your daddy a little too much. Does God pull back? No. God is not offended by your risk-taking. He's not offended by your risk-taking. And so Elijah says, let the God who answers by fire. And what happens? Boom! Fire falls, consumes the meat, consumes the animal, and laps up all the water around. You know, consumes the wood. It's all soaked in water. This is impossible. Let me tell you something. When you're up against impossible situations and impossible circumstances, you are up against the odds that God loves. He loves to move in those situations. No, but it's impossible. You know, A million plus Jewish slaves running from the most powerful army on the planet with their backs up against the Red Sea was an impossible situation. And the Father loves to show up in that. Now take a look at this. And so it says, and the water runs down, and at the usual time for the offering and the evening sacrifice, Elijah, the prophet, walked up to the altar, and he prayed, and he says, let the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you know, prove today that you are God of Israel and that I am your servant. And all this stuff, you know, happens. Fire falls and consumes all. And man, Elijah just takes off after these guys. He goes, seize them, don't let one of them go. And he goes and he kills every last one of them. So if you thought that scene was graphic, there's like hundreds of them dying here. Now look at this, verse 41. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go get something to eat and drink. He says, because I hear a mighty rainstorm coming. Now this is in a season of extreme drought, right? This is in a season of extreme drought. In verse 42, so Ahab went to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel. And there's something powerful. You know, I got to look into this more about this situation with Carmel. But it says, and he came and he bowed low to the ground and he prayed with his face between his knees. And then he said to his servants, now go look out towards the sea. I know you've heard these stories before. You've heard this in scripture, probably saw it, you know, in Sunday school classes. But he goes and he says, go take a look at the sea. And the servant goes and looks, and you know the story. He comes back and the servant looked and he returned and he says, I didn't see anything. And Elijah seven times. But Robbie, I prayed twice. Is it time to stop? I prayed a couple of, I did this. I experienced this, you know, one, you know, why can't it just be the first time every time? Seven times he's sending this servant to go out and to take a look. Look again. I'm sure the servant's going, you know what? I'd really like to have a new master because you don't get, there is no sign of any rain anywhere. It's not there. Seven times. Now let me tell you something. What Elijah is doing here is Elijah isn't trusting what circumstances are indicating. He's trusting what he hears God saying. He's trusting what he hears, the breakthrough that God sends. Not what the circumstances say, not what is just the eye has seen, but what does God say about this situation? Did he say, go lay hands on the sick and they'll recover? Did he say go pray? Did he say go do this at your work? Let me tell you something. I was blown away when we were at in the other city where I came from before, Steve Barber's church, where I was praying at a Christian school for these students, and I pray for them, and a bunch of them get healed, a bunch of them experience God's presence, and the guy tells me afterwards, he goes, don't tell this story in the town. When you leave the town, you can tell. And I said, why is that? And he goes, those teachers can get fired. And I'm like, it's a Christian school. And he goes, I know. But they could lose their jobs because it's a Christian school. They don't want you praying for people to be healed in a Christian school. And I'm like, seriously? Seriously? I was blown away by that. You know, we have a guy in our church that was a principal, and he would pray for people. He would see people healed all the time in his office. He would bring, it was a secular school, government school. They dragged him in several times to fire him, but the outcry in the city was, this guy has changed the school. Nobody, for 10 years, they had 10 different principals in that school because nobody could do a good job in that school. But this guy turned the school around. And so when they brought him in to fire him, he's like, okay, you can fire me, that's fine. But then all the parents just sign these notices, you know, sign these petitions coming saying, if you do, you know, we're going to move to other places and move our kids. We, you know, you're going to lose all your government funding. And they're like, and they were saying to him, they said, what have you done? And he goes, I'm just doing what Jesus says to do. And they're like, but don't you realize you could use your job? And he looks at the superintendent and he goes, there's only one problem. You're not God. This job isn't God. guys, you're going to be up against obstacles. But, you know, but what about this with the work? What about, let me tell you something. If your work is in conflict with what the Lord says, with what God says, now don't go in, you know, Monday and go, guess what? I'm praying for people. If you don't like it, tough. That's not being wise, okay? Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, but do what Jesus did. You know, you got to remember, Jesus does this early on, and he's taken to the edge of a cliff. They're going to throw him off and kill him. And he doesn't back down. Think about it. You know, but we look at all these other things, and what about this? What about this? You know, again, it's understanding the balance of this. But let me tell you something. That guy, he was brought in to be fired, and he called, it was like the final time, and he calls the superintendent, who I don't know what language that is for you, what those positions are called here, but the superintendent oversees all the schools in that particular district. He goes in to see the superintendent. The night before, he calls the superintendent's secretary, and he says, hey, you know, we're on for tomorrow, right? And the secretary says, yeah. And she goes, are you prepared for this? And he goes, yeah. He goes, I just want to know, does the superintendent have any medical conditions that you're aware of? And she goes, well, actually, nobody knows this, but he just got a cancer diagnosis. And he goes, oh, great. This is really good. Perfect. And she goes, what? And then he goes, I'm sorry. No, I don't mean that it's perfect. It's good. No, okay, fine. Thank you. Hangs up the phone. And so he had asked me to come as his witness, because if you're a part of the state and you know you're going to be fired, then you can bring a witness in. So he goes, would you come as my witness? And I'm like, sure. So we show up there, and so Mike looks at him, and he goes, understand you have a cancer. He goes, well, you know why you're here? He goes, is he your witness? And he says, yeah. He goes, this is my pastor. This is Robbie. And he goes, you know that you're being fired. And he goes, yeah. He goes, just one thing before we do this. He goes, I just found out from your secretary that you have a cancer diagnosis. Is that true? And he goes, she told you that? And he goes, yeah, but don't be upset with her, because I pressed her for an answer. And he goes, but you have cancer? And he goes, yeah. And he goes, well, let me tell you, if you let me pray for you, Jesus will completely heal you right now from cancer. And the superintendent says, you realize that's why you're being fired, right? Well, you do understand what's happening here. And he goes, yeah. And so here's our deal. If I'm going out, I'm going out with a bang. Let me tell you something. I don't plan going out of this life quietly. I plan on taking as many with me as I can, but not in a negative way, in a kingdom way. You know what I mean? I'm not going to go quietly. So he looks at him and he says, will you let me pray for you? And he goes, all right. And so he prays for him, and I watch him. I don't lay a hand on the guy. I watch him put his hand up, starts to pray, and the guy shoots back. His eyes are open the whole time, but all of a sudden his eyes go like that. And he shoots backwards, and in the air, his feet come off the ground, and he hits his bookshelf and slides down his bookshelf. And he goes, what was that? And he goes, I'm hoping healing, you know? And he says he was feeling a burning sensation where the cancer was, because I think it was in the stomach or something like that. He was feeling a burning sensation, and he goes, you know what? We're going to postpone this meeting. And he says, okay. And he goes back and gets checked. All the cancer's gone. So the superintendent calls him back in, and he goes, here's the deal. He goes, I'm going to cover for you. He goes, they'll probably fire both of us, but I would probably be a dead man if you hadn't prayed for me. He goes, but I'm going to cover for you. And he goes, I'm giving you a hall pass. I don't know if you know what that is, but he goes, I'm giving you a hall pass. And he goes, I'll cover for you as long as they'll allow us to. And he goes, but you keep doing what you're doing, because the world needs that. And when we ordained Mike and put him in as pastor of the church, on the front row sat the superintendent and his wife as a part of that church. Guys, let me tell you something. You know, we can stop and see, you know, his back's against the wall, but notice how he's pushing in. And so again, Elijah stops and he goes, go again, go again, go. Nothing. There's nothing. There's nothing. And I love this. And it says, he didn't see anything. He says, go again seven times. Finally, the seventh time in verse 44, seventh time, his servant told him, I saw only a little cloud about the size of a man's hand from the sea. That's it. Now, we don't know if that's like the literal size of a man's hand or just in the far distance. There's just this little cloud. And Elijah could have stopped and said, well, go back and look again. Let's see what happens again. But what is Elijah trusting? Is Elijah trusting what's being seen? No, he's trusting what the Spirit of God says. Despite the circumstances, what has God said? Despite the circumstances, Jesus said, go heal the sick. Despite the opposition, Jesus said, go raise the dead. Despite the opposition, he said, go give words of knowledge. Despite the rejection that you could go through, he said, go do it. Are we going to trust what our eyes see or what the Spirit says? And so he looks and he says, what does he say? I love this. He looks at him and he goes, hurry, run! I can imagine the servant going, it's only a cloud the size of a man's hand. He's like, run! Go tell King Ahab, get in your chariot. You're not going to make it till you get to the bottom of the hill. You won't make it because there's a rainstorm coming. My friends, people are going to look at you and go, it's only a cloud the size of a man's hand. That guy? Her? Really? They're only the cloud the size of a man's hand. But what does the Spirit hear? The sound of the abundance of rain. By the Spirit, there's a sound of the abundance of rain. God loves to use little clouds that are insignificant to bring massive rainstorms that break the power of drought. Don't go by what your eyes see. Go by what the Spirit says. Go by what you hear in the Spirit. And so he says, run, go tell him. Hurry, tell Ahab. Climb into your chariot. Go back home. And if you don't hurry, the rain will stop you. It'll overtake you. And soon the sky was black with clouds, and a heavy wind brought a terrific rainstorm, and Ahab left quickly for Jezreel. And then the Lord gave special strength to Elijah. He tucked his cloak into his belt and he ran ahead of Ahab's chariot all the way to the entrance of Jezreel. God gives him this supernatural strength. I believe God brings supernatural strength, brings supernatural activity when we don't judge by what we see, but when we go by what the Spirit says. God kicks in. He adds his part. Now, Ahab gets back. He gets back and he tells Jezebel, his wife, he goes, you know, man, tells him about the prophets, you know, being all killed in Mount Carmel. And this is amazing because Jezebel sends word back to let me read it. It says, when Ahab got back home, he told Jezebel everything that Elijah had done, including the way that he killed the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel, she's hearing how God answers by fire. She's hearing how the fire falls, consumes the sacrifice. She's hearing of this little, cloud the size of man and this massive rainstorm. She's hearing all the activity of God, but look how she responds. And she says, so Jezebel sent the message to Elijah, may the gods strike me and even kill me if by tomorrow I have not killed you as you have killed them. Even though she's seen the hand of God, even though she hears this powerful testimony, there's still people that aren't going to buy in. There's still people. Don't be discouraged by that. Stay with what you hear the Spirit of God say. Stay with what you hear the Spirit saying, not what circumstances say, not the threats that the enemy gives, but what the Spirit says. Are you hearing this? Is this speaking to your spirit? My friends, let me tell you something. This, well, man, England's such a hard place. It's a hard place. There's so much, church turning from God, this post, but what does the Spirit of God say? What does the Spirit of God say? What is the Spirit speaking? Let me tell you something. It may be, it's just a small country that's it, but I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. I hear the sound of an outpouring of the Spirit over you, through you. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. That That's what the Spirit of God says over you. Believe it, and act on it. Don't act as if it won't come. Don't say, well, God, if you'll do that, then we'll go. No, it can't go. It can't happen until you go. It can't come until you act on it. Believe the words of the Lord and believe the word of the prophet, the scripture says, and you'll prosper. Believe what the Spirit is getting. There's been prophecy after prophecy after prophecy about this with this country. So let's start acting on it. Step out with your head high, believe it, and see it come. That's a word for this church. That's a word for this area. That's a word for you personally, with many of you for your families, with many of you in every part of your life. Hear it by the Spirit of God. All right, I'm done. Let's stand. That's as smooth of a transition as you're going to get right there. Any Bible college students, don't use this as an illustration of how to transition. I want to pray that you hear the voice of the Spirit like never before. I want to pray that you feel that rain tonight. I want to pray that you prophetically experience that outpouring. Because let me tell you something. And listen, it's not, we can jump from conference to conference to conference, just getting another tickle, getting another laugh, getting another drink, getting another fill. And if we, my friends, we are in error if we don't take what we've received outside of those doors and take it to the community. We are in error. You remember what Wimber you say. You are being filled up to be poured out. And that's not to the guy sitting beside you right now. That's outside there. That's why you're being filled up, is to be poured out. Continue that. You know, push it forward. Let that continue to work in you, okay? All right, just put your hands out. Father, I thank you. I thank you for these amazing testimonies today. And there's so many we didn't even get to hear. So much more. By the power of your Spirit, Lord, let us not be distracted by what our eyes see or what circumstances are dictating. But now, let us rely on what we've heard by the Spirit of God. Let us rely on what we've experienced, what's been poured into us, what's been filled into us. Lord, let us move away from having to have what we expect and move and act on what you expect and what you've said. Fill us tonight with that, Holy Spirit. Just release in this place. Release in this place. That sound of the abundance of rain. Release that rain, oh God. Come, Holy Spirit. Come. Be filled right now. Be filled with the expectancy. Filled with that kingdom reality. More, Lord. For some of you, God's just breaking chains off right now. Breaking chains off your mind, breaking chains off your physical being, off your spiritual brain. Just let those chains break. Come, Holy Spirit. More, Lord. If you're just feeling God's presence on you, if you're just feeling that heat, that electricity, or the tingling, or just that weightiness of God's presence, just like I said last night, if you're feeling your heart racing or your legs shaking, you're just feeling, or your hands, you're just feeling God's presence on you right now. If that's you, just lift a hand up right now. He's just throughout the room right now. Yeah, more, Lord. Turn it up. Turn it up more. Fire fall in this place. Fire of God, fall. Let the God who answers by fire fall. Let's consume our hearts. Consume all the distractions. Consume right now. Come. More, Lord. Be filled. Be filled. More, Lord. More, more, more. Turn it up. More, Lord. Now, there's some of you that you're not feeling that, but you're just like, I'm desperate to experience that. I'm just desperate to experience that. And I've never felt that before, but I'm desperate to experience that presence of God. You don't have your hand up, but and you're just like, I'm desperate to experience that. I've never felt it, and I need that. If that's you, just come down here right now. Come down the front right now. If you're not feeling that, those who have your hands up, stick with me just a minute. There's a response for you too. More, Lord, come. Come over here to the middle, please. That's okay. More, Lord. Now, you guys that are feeling that just on you, you're feeling God's presence on you. I want you guys just to come forward too. Just gather around, even over here to the side or over here to this side. Just come and just fill this, even the aisles. If you walk up, don't stop in the aisle if there's space up here. Come forward. Just God's moving on you. I just want you to surround these guys that have come up here that are just desperate for this too. And this is just be here. You're not necessarily praying for them. Just come and just stand. Step up. Yep. More, Lord, even over there to that side. Don't block the aisle there. Let those guys just pour it over there. And some of you are just experiencing heat or electricity. There's some of you guys up there, you're feeling it. If you are, if you don't mind, step down if you would. But it's there's some of you feeling tingling or heat in your fingertips or hands or around your mouth or on your tongue. Now, do me a favor. Raise your hand if you're feeling that. If you're feeling tingling or heat in fingertips or head, or around your mouth or your tongue. If you're feeling it around your mouth or tongue, wave your hand at me. If you're feeling it around your mouth, yeah, that's prophetic. That's God releasing that prophetic on you, and he's cranking that prophetic on you right now, okay? And so just right now, Father, we just say more of you, Lord, more of you, more of what you're doing. And right now, Lord, we just say just double it right now. Just increase of your presence. Turn it up, Holy Spirit. Turn it up. Fire. Spirit of God, it's all over you, man. Go, more. Be filled. Be filled. More, Lord. More, Lord. Fill them up. Go deep. Go deep. Make these hands hot. These hands. There's healing anointing in these hands. More, Lord. More, Lord. Go deep, Holy Spirit. Go deep. More. More. Fresh fire. Fresh fire. Go deep, Holy Spirit. Just as Jesus just breathed on his disciples, and just I breathe on you, I just pray just that release, just be filled right now. Be filled right now. More, Lord. More, Lord. Go deep. Go deep. Go deep. More. Go deep. More, Lord. More. 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 It's a deep prophetic voice on you. More, Lord. Go deep. More. If you're back at your seat and you know how to pray for people, I want you to step down and I want you just to begin to just pray. Just say, if you don't know what to pray, just say more, Lord. Just increase it on them. Go deep, Holy Spirit. Fill. Yeah. More, Lord. Fill them up. Increase. Turn it up. Go deep. Be filled. Stir. Double portion. More, Lord. Fresh fire. Intercession. This is a deep intercession. Ignite them. Father, just ruin us with your presence right here. Release that sound of the abundance of rain. Go deep, Holy Spirit. More, Lord. Fill them up, Holy Spirit. Fill them up. Go deep. More. Fresh fire. Yeah, there's the nations on you. The nations are on you. God's going to release you to the nations. More, Lord. Increase. Turn it up. Be filled. Go deep. It's all over you, Tony. Right there. More, Lord. Fire of your Spirit. Increase right there. More. Be filled. Father, we just thank you just for that fresh expression of your Spirit. And we just call out even the voice of your Spirit just on these right now. More, Lord. There's some of you that have been asking for tongues, that you've been asking God to give you tongues. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now release the tongues. Now speak it. It's by faith. Release it in the name of Jesus. More, Lord. Fill them up, Holy Spirit. More, Lord. Fresh fire. More. Go deep, Holy Spirit. Go deep. More, Lord. Yeah. Fill. There's healing in these hands. God's increasing. More, Lord. Just, Lord, Father, I just saw the Lord just is releasing just his glory. Some of you may even later see gold dust on your hands, but whether you do or not, doesn't matter. But there's just a release of his glory coming, and we just say more right now. Phil, Tony, right there. Go deep. More, Lord. Fresh fire. Yeah. Increase. Yes. Turn it up. Holy Spirit. Yeah. Turn it up. More. More, Lord. Increase. Fill. Lord, just ignite your people. Ignite your people. More, Lord. Rise up, O man of God. Rise up, warrior. Rise up, O man of God. Rise up. Rise up, mighty warrior. Mighty warrior. Fill. More. Fill them up. Fill them up. Go deep. Fresh fire right here. More.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes,
Holy Spirit. Fire of your Spirit. More, Lord. Spring up, O well. More. Fill. More. Joy. It's that fresh release of joy. More, Lord. Turn it up, Holy Spirit. More. Fill. There's a teaching gift on you. Bless it. You're going to bring many. You're going to raise up many. Fill. Spring up, Word of God. Spring up just out of the deep deposits of it, out of her. In Jesus' name. Fire of your Spirit. Go deep, Holy Spirit. More. Fresh fire. Fill. More, Lord. Increase. Turn it up, Holy Spirit. More. Fill. I just see children all around you. Just God, just a wisdom and to release and to increase and just release gifting on them. Father, we just bless that. More, Lord. Fill them up. Go deep. Fresh fire. Yeah. Never to be the same. More, Lord. Go deep. Turn it up. More, Lord. More, Lord. Increase. Right there. Go deep, Holy Spirit. Fill. Fill. Just see, just like a cloud of His presence right over those five guys right there. Fill them up, Holy Spirit. Fill them up. More, Lord. More. Increase. Increase. Turn it up. Turn it up. Turn it up. Just go deep. Go deep. Be filled. Be filled. More, Lord. More, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Great leadership. Great leadership all over you. Great leadership all over you. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Father, just transform our thinking from just that cloud the size of a man's hand. Right now, transform. Open our ears to hear the sound of the abundance of rain. And open our ears to hear by the Spirit what is coming by your Spirit. And we just say, let it come. Let it rain. Let it rain. Let it rain. Let the fire and the rain come in this place. In Jesus' name. Be released right tonight. In Jesus' name. More. Thank you.